The news from Lake Wobegon is brought to you by Fiber One Honey Cluster Cereal. With a touch of sweet honey and brown sugar, each serving has more than half of the daily value of fiber. Fiber One. Cardboard no, delicious yes.
Well, it's been a quiet week in Lake Wobegon, Minnesota, my hometown. Out there on the edge of the prairie. These skies remind me of the skies in Lake Wobegon last Tuesday. There was a big storm that was coming in. People went out on their front lawns to watch it. The clouds, the underside of the clouds turned to kind of a dark green as the sun was going down. So the sky was red. People ran inside for video cameras to take a picture of the sky, which few of them had done. But by the time they got out, it was all over. We try to preserve things and we lose them. Well, there's a lesson there, a lesson everywhere. People went to sleep that night. And many of them were disturbed by dreams in which they were on a ship, and the ship was rocking to and fro, and the band was playing "Nearer, My God, to Thee," and they were hanging on for dear life. And these are flatlanders; these are not a seagoing people. So it was a rough night for them. But they woke up in the morning, and the storm had passed, and the grass was spackled with water, all glinting in the sun. Another close call; their ship had not sunk. And that was the morning, Wednesday morning. The pastor Liz was spotted coming into Lake Wobegon. They weren't sure who it was at first. This all turned out later, but it was Cindy Headland, who saw her about 6 o'clock in the morning. She saw a woman walking along the gravel road south of town, and she was coming towards town. She had a big backpack on her back, and she carried a sleeping bag and a pad as well. And she was walking along. She looked a little damp and wet, but she had a bounce to her step. She came into town. The constables, Gary and Leroy, spotted her about 6:30, and they pulled over and they asked her where she was going. She said she was coming to Lake Wobegon. She'd come all the way from New Jersey. She was a Lutheran pastor. She'd had a call from the Holy Spirit to come and serve this church. Well, they've heard a lot of things as constables. They never heard that. They said, "Where are you going to stay?" Well, she said, "Is there a motel in town?" "No," they said, "there is, but you don't want to stay there. Art has been crazy for years. I wouldn't let my worst enemy stay in that motel." "Well," she said, "I'll find a place." She went into the Chatterbox Cafe, and she had a cup of coffee and one of Dorothy's big cinnamon rolls. Darlene served it to her, thought she smelled of liniment. They were still puzzled who she was. And then she came out of the Chatterbox Cafe a little bit before 7 o'clock, and Val Tollefson saw her coming in. Val Tollefson is the president of the Council of Lake Wobegon Lutheran Church, and he knew that the church had been searching for a new pastor to replace Pastor Inkvist, who left some time ago. And he'd seen pictures of Pastor Liz, who had met with the search committee down in Minneapolis. Now, Val is ordinarily a very sticky character, very stubborn, bullheaded, not that pleasant. But dementia has really softened him, and he's become very gentle, and he welcomed her to Lake Wobegon. "Why, thank you very much," she said. She crossed over the street to go into the mercantile. She walked in. Cliff had just opened the door, and there he was behind the counter. She asked if he had some bobby pins. "Well, yes, he did. He uses them himself. He has to rig up his hair every morning. It's the most imaginative and beautiful comb over. It's like a birdcage around the top of his head, this artful combination of hairspray and bobby pins." He sold her a couple of cards of bobby pins and a bar of soap as well. And the next person to see her was Clint Bunsen, who is the chairman of the search committee and who had met with her down in Minneapolis. He was in his boat. He was quietly fishing for bass about 100 yards offshore when he saw, as the sun was coming through the clouds, he saw a woman bathing in shallow water. A naked woman was bathing in shallow water. And he hoped it wasn't her, and then he realized it was. A tall, handsome woman in water up to her knees was soaping herself with water. And he realized that he should have yelled at that moment to tell her that he was there. And his boat was drifting toward shore. And now he didn't dare start the motor because he'd been looking at her now for a minute and a half. He didn't even dare get out an oar, certainly not to drop anchor. So he lay down in the bottom of the boat, lay very quietly, curled up in a childlike position. And as he drifted towards the shore, he could hear her singing, "Jesus, lover of my soul, let me to thy bosom fly, while the nearer waters roll, while the tempest still is nigh." Getting closer and closer. And then she stopped singing, and she was standing over him. She said, "Are you all right?" His eyes were closed. He said, "I think so." He said, "When did you get to town?" "Oh, just a couple hours ago. I just had a feeling that I should come." She put her hand on his shoulder. She said, "Are you sure you're all right?" "No," he said. "I haven't been sure for years." "Well," she said, "go in peace. Your sins are forgiven." And she gave him a push. And then he was sliding up onto the beach. Well, he said nothing about her to anybody he saw, kept it to himself, didn't tell Dorothy, didn't tell Darlene, didn't tell his wife Irene, didn't tell Clarence, his brother. And then Clarence came back from lunch and said, "Wally, down at the sidetrack tap, has a new waitress, and her name is Liz. She applied for the job, and she's got it. She's terrific. She's lovely, and she's charming, and she can also broil chicken and fish, and she makes a beautiful chopped green salad. And she sits down at the piano, and she plays Red Sails in the Sunset, and she plays a little the Habanera, and she plays Handel's Largo and Beyond the Sunrise. She's a lovely piano player." Wally, down at the sidetrack tap, has decided that these old souses who've supported him for years, these old barflies, are not going to hold out much longer. Brandy used to be the big seller down there, and now it isn't anymore. Now it's wine, and now it's beer. So he's opening up a lunch business, and he's whitewashed those old knotty pine walls, and he's taken the curtains off the windows, bringing bright sunlight into the sidetrack tap, and now driving away the Norwegian bachelor farmers. They've all gone off to the Sidewinder bar up near Millet, and he's hoping to bring people in to have lunch. And here is Liz. Wally said to Clint, "She's a godsend." "Well, we'll see about that," said Clint. Well, you couldn't have a Lutheran lady pastor sleeping out in the woods. He just didn't want to do that. He didn't want to have her bathing in the lake anymore. So he found her and he said, "I'm taking you home." He took her home to the guest room there on the second floor opposite his and Irene's bedroom. It'd been recently cleaned up and the dresser cleaned out because the kids are not going to come back. And so Liz moved in. Clint and Irene have had a little renaissance of their marriage these last few years since they added that second glass of wine at dinner. They have the one for the heart's sake before dinner, and now they have an extra bonus one afterward. And they've been seeing a lot of each other early in the evening upstairs. But now with a lady pastor across the hall, they lay in bed in the dark, with their hands on each other, not sure what they should do. Well, Barbara Hamm, the interim pastor, was very dubious about all this. She went down to the sidetrack tap in civilian clothing. She wore a big flowered muumuu and blue jeans, and she walked in and sat down at a table, and she ordered the deep-fried walleye, and Liz waited on her. Liz spotted her right away. One pastor knows another instantly. She could tell just by the smell on her. She could also tell by the deep grooves of the chain around her neck. She wears a very heavy bronze pectoral cross, which also leaves a mark on her pectorals. And Liz thought it was terrific deep-fried walleye, just some of the best she'd ever had. And it sort of changed her mind about Pastor Liz. She had called the bishop that morning and asked for an investigation. This woman is mentally unbalanced. Anybody coming to town on foot with no bicycle, no car, nothing. This is a woman to watch very, very carefully. Just because you think you have a call from the Holy Spirit doesn't mean you can come and serve the people of Lake Wobegon. I have a responsibility for these people, and I am not about to have them served by a woman who is a waitress in a tavern. But the deep-fried walleye changed her view. It was beautiful fish. That night, she had a call from South Dakota from her mother. And Barbara Hamm's father had fallen out of the apple tree where he was spraying for aphids. He had fallen out and fallen onto a harrow, and he'd broken his hip. The man fell from the apple tree, and she had to go there and help her father right away. And she called up Liz down at Clint and Irene's house, and she said, "Could you take the service on Sunday? There isn't anybody else I can call at this last minute." "Of course," said Pastor Liz. She asked Clint Bunsen if it would be okay to hold the service outdoors. "Why not?" he said. "Why not? It's a good way to get away from the organ." So that's what they'll be doing on Sunday morning at Lake Wobegon Lutheran, 9:30. You can make it on time if you start out now. 9:30 in the morning, meet at the church. They'll be processing out the back door and out into the woods, out into a clearing somewhere. "What are you going to do about music?" the organist said. "Oh," she said, "we're Lutherans. We know how to sing. We'll make do." She's going to preach on the story in Scripture about the woman, the adulteress who came to Jesus and who bathed his feet with her tears. This should be good. That's the news from Lake Wobegon, where all the women are strong, all the men are good-looking, and all the children are above average.